The dictionary tells me an exercise becomes a custom if it is a long-established practice. Some customs never have a written law, while yet other customs become a written law, such as tithing. For instance, Abraham paid tithe. It was no written law, yet it became his custom and the custom of his children and their children. And you know what? God liked what these old boys were doing, so he incorporated this custom into his law when he gave it to Moses. This custom was a long-established practice by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God liked what he saw in these boys and decided, I'm going to make this a custom for the entire nation. And today, Christians everywhere who desire to honor God with their substance still practice this custom. Oh, these are good customs. We need some good customs. These customs come about by habitually practicing good things, because a custom is the habitual, long-established practice. The more you practice good things, the more custom they become. And before long, these practices soon become your custom, whether they be sinful or righteous. If you practice finding fault with your fellow man, if you practice gossiping, tale-bearing, lying, soon this will be your custom. But if you practice always seeing the good in everybody, always speaking well of your brother, always doing the right thing in every situation, always worshiping God under every circumstance, and if you continue practicing these good things, it will soon become your custom. And these good customs will lead you into a mature Christian. Maturity is mandatory. In order to achieve Christian growth, you're going to have to develop some good customs. I mentioned yesterday in my lesson that one of the customs that you should acquire is the custom of prayer, because prayer is the only way to commune with God. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." In Luke 21 and 36, Jesus says, "Watch and pray always." In Luke 19 and verse 29, the Bible says, "As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering." Prayer not only changes the way people see you, but it changes the way you see people. So let's establish a custom of praying. I also told you that one of the customs that you need to develop is the custom of studying the Word of God, because it is in the Word of God that we find the words of life. It is in the Word of God that Jesus Christ is revealed in all of His majesty. It is in the Word of God that we find words to live by. One person said, "The world has plenty to live on and plenty to live for, but nothing to live by." Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." We need that custom of praying. There's also a third custom that we need, the custom of giving. On every Lord's Day, each of us should put aside something from what we have earned and use it for this offering. You don't give for God's sake. You give for your sake. God said, "Try me, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain." God has closed many doors for me in the past, but the blessing window, the window from which I receive my blessing, has never been closed. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. You're more than a person with a checkbook. You are David placing a stone in the sling. You're like Peter, 1 foot on the boat, 1 foot on the lake. You're the little boy in a big crowd. When the teacher only needed a picnic lunch, what will you do? Will you sling the stone? Will you take the step? Will you give the meal? When you write that check, you are making a confession. A confession that God owns it all. The line in the lower left-hand corner on which you write what the check is for, it's hard to know what to put. It's for the light bills, the literature, the outreach, the salaries. Better yet, it's partial payment for what the church has done to help you raise your family. Better yet, it's for you to keep your own priorities sorted out. Even though the gift is to God, it is to benefit you. And last of all, let us not give up that custom of meeting together as the manner of some is, but let us take courage one with another. The reason for the church, all week long, we have been fighting the devil. We have applauded the one the world opposes. We stand when everyone sits, and we sit when everyone stands. At some point, you're going to need support. You need to be with folks who stand when you do. You need what the Bible calls fellowship, and you need it every week. You can only go so long before you begin thinking about joining the crowd. These are four customs worth having. Isn't it good to know that some customs are good for you? Make them a part of your day and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
He was just a shepherd boy before he was a king. There was no cry, there was no choir, but David learned to sing. Just a shepherd in the wilderness, pleased to sing his song for an audience of one. He would sing when no one listened. He would sing when none could hear. He would sing because he knew his song would always find God's ear. But it seemed he was alone and all was gone. There was an audience of one. I've been in the darkness, and I've been all alone. I can't see what lies before me. I can't see which way to go. So when I seek my faith and not my sight, I hope he hears my song. He's never failed to be my audience of one. So I will sing when no one listens. I will sing when none can hear. I will sing because I know my song will always find God's ear. But it seems I am alone.